Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, director of the Comlock Center, and our hosts tonight for this evening's show are Dr. Betty J. Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That is Changing the World, as well as our dear friend, Janet Mayer, Forever Family Certified Medium and author of Spirits, Say Our Present. We all three welcome you tonight, and we would love to hear your personal stories. We invite you to call in and talk about personal experiences that defy mainstream thinking and join us as we explore the various kinds of experiences that people have, what they mean, and how we can integrate them into our daily lives. Although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this show centers around your direct experiences, which don't involve a medium. So please feel free to give us a call, jump in whenever you're ready. The call-in numbers are 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. Good evening, Janet.
Good evening, Kimberly and Betty. How are you tonight?
We're good.
All is well.
So we should have an interesting show tonight.
Absolutely.
We hope so. Do you have any wisdom to begin us out with?
Well, I don't know if I'd call it wisdom, but I have a story that I thought I'd like to share that it kind of came to me this past week while I was reading something, and it dawned on me, and I thought, you know how I always tell in each month we talk about the shows and how everyone needs to pay attention, and, you know, they don't have to look for the sign. The sign can be there, but they could, you know, they may get something, and they might, you know, get a sense of someone around them, and, you know, I'm always saying to pay attention. Well, this past week, I got thinking about when I was younger and I first had that experience of seeing my dad and, you know, the doorway, and I could see through him. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was a ghost. And of course, you know, it freaked me out as a little kid, and I was about five. So, you know, I was always, you know, I became scared at night thinking, you know, is he going to show up and come towards me and get me as a ghost? And, you know, all the little things kids worry about. And I started realizing I did something besides just paying attention to what's going on around me. I listened, and I realized that, and I noticed that I do this, and I guess it has become such a part of me. And I'm not just talking about, like, you know, listening to when somebody's having a conversation, but it's like listening kind of outside of what's everything around you. If there's, you know, a car going by, or if you hear voices outside, or, you know, when an air conditioner vent goes on, or, you know, the refrigerator sounds, and there's all these sounds around us. And I thought, you know, if people, when they, you know, want to have a connection with the other side, and they're, you know, asking their loved one to come through in some way, if they maybe at the beginning start off by trying to do a little simple meditation with listening, you know, and they just sit for maybe 5 minutes, they could try it a couple times a week, or, you know, if they don't have a lot of time, once a week, and just start listening to the sounds around them in kind of a meditation. And I think that, you know, that kind of opens you up in a different way than you're normally used to listening. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's really, you've talked about paying attention so much, but yeah, the listening to the sounds, that's very interesting. I'm sitting here trying to imagine myself doing that.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's, you know, and it's something really simple that, you know, we're so used to, you know, being so busy in life, and, you know, we have a schedule, and you have to go here and you have to go there, and, you know, we're running all over the place, but it's like, do you ever really just pay attention to actual listening? And I guess that, you know, it hit me when I was in the middle of reading something. And then it also made me think about, you know, when I do EVP sessions and I'm always listening for something else there to see if I get it. But what made me think about it is, you know, when I'm meditating, sometimes I'll just, you know, I'll hear a noise or I'll hear a sound or I'll hear a voice. And I think, okay, I picked up on that. And I realized that I spend a lot of time doing that. And I never really paid attention that I do it as much as I actually do it. So it's like, I would suggest to like any listeners to take that chance sometime and, you know, just spend 5 minutes, you know, once a week, start off and just be quiet, you know, just don't even have music on and try to pick out all the sounds, all the, you know, everything that you hear and focus on that and kind of meditate on those different sounds. And then it kind of opens you up in another sense. So, you know, and yes, it's kind of being clairaudient, but you're trying to hear like past that. So I think that would be something when, you know, somebody comes through and they say they felt like they heard somebody's name or, you know, somebody came to them or even, you know, in a dream, sometimes you feel like you hear words or a sound or something. So I just thought it was kind of an interesting angle that, you know, the listeners might want to try or they might enjoy trying it and seeing how it works for them. Because mm-hmm. if you know, someone has a really cool story, you know, we'd love to hear from them and, you know, they can call in. But I also, you know, I would like them to also try something else if they're also listening and they don't want to call in. Maybe that would be another way to connect into the, you know, to their loved ones who are now on the other side.
Well, certainly your work with EVPs trains you very carefully to listen, doesn't it? I mean, you're listening for every single sound, aren't you?
Yeah, you really do. But, you know, you also have to understand that sometimes a sound is, you know, just a static. Or it's, you know, the computer, even like your computer, if when, you know, you do something online like this, it comes through the computer, there's still sounds that will come through the computer. And that's always, you know, that's always surprises me because, you know, the computer sounds kind of quiet. You hear a little bit of a rumbling noise or the fan. But when you're doing EVP, you can actually hear things coming through it. And so it's kind of like, okay, you have to, you know, push that aside and you can't, you know, you got to disregard any of that. And you have to listen to actually an answer to a question that you ask. And if you get an answer, great. And if you don't get an answer, you move on. And I think that that's something that, you know, when, you know, someone's having an experience out there and they're not sure if they had it, they need to just say, okay, I am going to take this as I had this, you know, I had this happen to me, this event happen or this story or a loved one come through. Okay, now can you give it to me again? And maybe I didn't get it this, you know, I didn't catch it so much this way. Can you try it in a new way? You know, and you can, you know, it can happen for all your senses. It doesn't always have to be only one way. You know, you can dream it, you can see it, you can feel it, you can hear it. And I think that, you know, that's what's kind of cool too, is that there's so many ways for spirit to come through. And I think especially too, like Betty, I know you have, you know, numerous, numerous dreams and they are very personable, but they're also real. You know, they're really, it's like a living dream that, you know, you have so many dreams that become more of a, you know, it's not even, I would call a dream all the time. It's really an experience and a connection. And I think that, you know, when you have something like that, you know, everybody can have their own type of experience.
Yes. And I think with dreams that in my own life, I've noticed that there are times when I have very moving, real, profound dreams, and at other times they don't. And I sometimes think, well, now what's going on that I'm not remembering any dreams? And yeah. I suppose that there's a certain way of being in the world that would allow the dreams perhaps to come through more vividly. When I had the dreams, I was searching so deeply for meaning and for purpose and for what is the reality. And those dreams did come through. And of course, then with the deaths, the dream came through and those were very urgent times too. But I think that I'm not unusual. I'm sure that I've heard people say, well, I just don't dream. Well, I guess that means we don't remember them. But sometimes if we don't, the world seems less enchanted than when we dream.
Right, right.
And I guess what you are certainly the exercise of paying attention and listening is a way of sort of letting go of the world that so can so possess us. I know that I can get into research, and if it's research that's very disturbing, I have a hard time to allow my mind to let that go and to really then be in an empty space so that I can make some connection with the other world, and also that I remember the dreams that I have. So I guess I'm thinking today of what it feels like and what should we do when the world becomes unenchanted for us.
Well, that's true, right? Right.
Since you talk about dreams, I was thinking, and I don't know why this dream has sort of returned to me so vividly recently, but I actually had this dream the very night before our son was killed in a car accident. And I'll just read it. It's easier to do that, I think. I record it in this way, that I am in a forest in a beautiful two-room, two-story wood and glass building. I'm upstairs in a meditation room, above a meditation room. The walls in the room below and in this room above are made of glass from the middle of the walls to the ceiling, so that I am surrounded by the lush green of nature just coming through that glass. I've just returned from the room below in meditation. It's twilight, and I can see very well, however, in the sort of cool, bluish, comfortable light that fills the room. And I realize at that moment that I'm taking care of a baby. When I enter the room upstairs, I see a male spirit sitting on the couch, waiting for me. I'm not at all afraid when I see him, even though I don't recall ever seeing him in this form. We know and love each other, that much I know. It is love that brings him here this evening. But there is more. There is a deep inner purpose that brings us together. He's waiting for me to put the baby to bed. When I have done this, I sit down by him on the couch, and we begin to talk. We are entering into a partnership for some kind of work for ourselves, the child, and the earth. And it wasn't until later, after his death, that I realized that was the night before he died. And I felt that it was Pishti. But then when Pishti was in the hospital, I contacted a woman who has a medium psychic abilities. And she said I didn't know her. She'd never met me or my son. And she said, I'll try to get in touch with him. The next morning I called her, and she had gotten in touch with him. And so she told me the various things that she had discovered. And then she said, and by the way, he said that you and he are entering into a partnership for the children of the earth.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I don't know why I've thought so much about it. I guess maybe trying to remember my own purpose in some way. But it just always had a profound effect on me, because it was a kind of loving person that I could easily think of as my son. But I felt that we'd known each other through many lifetimes. Mm-hmm. But I think how dreams like that structure or release the meaning of events that in a way that we would never have without those experiences.
Right. And I think too, is not even, you know, and I even in a way, it's hard to say to call them a dream, because it's so much more of a deeper experience. Yeah. You know, it's like you're not really in a dream. It's just like that's what catches us to that point. But it's so much more than that, in that the experience is so much deeper. And I think, yes. and that's true. Like when, you know, even when someone calls and they'll say something like, well, I had this dream, and I think, yeah, but I hate to say it's a dream, even though it is, because it's more of a it's a true experience. It's, you know, sure. it's more than a dream, and it's deeper. And so, like, you know, what you experienced, that's definitely more than that. You know what I mean?
Yes, it's that deep sense of presence and reality, more real, as they say, realer than real.
right, exactly. No, I know that just, and you know, that kind of made me think of, And this was, I can talk about this because it's in my book. It was from a client, so otherwise I would never mention it, but I was given the okay. And I had a dream before a reading one time like that, where I felt like I was somewhere. And it was almost like when I came out of it, the experience, it was so clear and so real. I was pretty sure that I had something from that dream with me. I mean, that's how clear it was. And it was like, I remembered the building. I remembered the place I was at. I was in a different country. And it was so interesting. And I thought, gosh, do I even bring this up to this woman because it was a dream? And I don't know if I should do that. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And it was so interesting because I did. I told her what I, you know, what I had received. And she said, oh, I know exactly what that is. I know exactly what that is. And I'm like, okay, so I was there. And she's like, yes. She goes, and I think I was there. And I was like, oh my gosh. Oh, and I thought, how cool is it to kind of meet somebody in the middle that I'd never met before, you know, and we both had this combined, you know, connection through a so-called dream, but it was even more present than if, you know, like if I was here right, you know, right now. And I always remember that. And I think of something like that. And it's like, I wish that, you know, and I hope, I guess in some way, everyone, you know, of course we know everyone has lost someone. And so my hope is always that someone can have a connection in some way with them, with a loved one. And it can be in, you know, whatever their own experience is. I mean, whether, you know, it is a dream or whether it's something, you know, that they felt move or, you know, like I always kid in my house, I said, there's things that would move. And I'm very particular about where everything is on my desk. And, you know, if I go in there and there's something moved on the desk, I'm like, that's not where it's supposed to be, you know? And I always think, you know, I'm always like trying to, like, I always say, pay attention, but it is, there's so many levels to this. And so that's what I always find, you know, so interesting about when, you know, when someone calls in and they give us a story and it comes from their angle and their place. And it's beautiful to hear how we can all have all these different experiences and yet they're all connected in it. You know, we're all interconnected. And I find it just really, I guess comforting in a way. I guess that's a good word to use, is it's comforting that we are interconnected and we do have that where we feel like we meet each other and we don't even know each other and yet we're having similar experiences.
Yeah, like a net, and we're all connected, interconnected so delicately and beautifully.
That's right. Yeah. And you never know when someone out there is awaiting a story that you have to share, that you need to have the courage to step up, to show up, to share it, to help give that gift that you receive to others so that it'll help open the door to their own experiences or validate experiences that they've had that perhaps they've questioned or have not shared. So this is another invitation to our listeners to please call in, share your personal story, 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831.
You know, I think that's really great, Kim, because, you know, we just think of it sometimes not as that interconnected net in which we all are so much a part of the same thing, but that we think, well, this is something that happened to me. But I love your saying that someone might just be waiting for that particular story.
Your story.
Yeah, to hear.
Your story to help them.
Yes.
With their story.
And so it's so important. I know I've said this before, but when I was in South America and there were shamanic circles of meditation and that kind of thing, they always said, you know, whatever happens to one, just it makes us realize that it can happen to us. And that's really true, is it? There's a huge breakthrough for one person. That's a good sign that we all can have that. And I think we get reconfirmed by each other's stories for sure.
Oh, there's definitely.
There's a great quotation by Brené Brown that I really do love and I've shared sometimes. It's the willingness to show up changes us. It makes us a little braver each time. So stepping out of our comfort zone is not necessarily easy, but there are rewards for doing so.
Yeah. And I think I myself, if I'm hearing a radio show, I'm very reluctant to call in, you know?
Right.
But I hope that people out there listening to us will call in.
We have Jeannie from Kansas. Good evening, Jeannie.
Hello, how are both of you?
You actually have three of us.
We're all three here.
You're all three.
Welcome.
Oh, yes, three. Okay, great. Well, I think I have a pretty incredible story to report, and I'll just get into it. My 15-year-old daughter died of suicide about 3 years ago. And, of course, you know, I've been missing her terribly. Well, one morning I went in to lie down on my bed. It was about 10:30 in the morning. I wasn't particularly tired, but I was sad. And then I believe I somehow entered into a altered state of consciousness is all I can say, because I found myself walking out into a backyard and a wooden bench that was in disrepair and it needed to be painted and it was overgrown. And I looked at it and I said, well, that could be a place I could meditate. And then from behind, my daughter walked up to me and stood beside me looking at it also. And I turned and I looked and I said, Calista. And she said, hi, Mom. And I thought in my head, I'm thinking, is this a dream? How can I see her? And I said, no, I'm not dreaming. I can really see her. And I'm thinking this while she's while we're looking at each other. And she said, Mom, I wanted to tell you that when I crossed over, there were these beings there. And then I had a flash in my mind of a picture of five or six beings, forms in kind of in white, but I didn't see any facial features. And they were standing in like a semicircle. And she said, they looked at me, Mom, and they said, you're not supposed to be here. And then she felt startled and like, uh-oh, I did something wrong. And she said, Mom, I tried to get back in my body, but it was too late. Mm-hmm. And oh, wow. Then, and all the time she's talking to me, I'm thinking, how can I see her? And I can hear her, but I'm not dreaming. I know I'm not dreaming. This is so weird. And then she got, she laid down on me and I said, oh, I can feel you. And I'm thinking, I can even feel her. And I said, oh, Calista, you're heavy. And we giggled. And then she rolled over and we looked at each other eye to eye. And I said, oh, Calista, I said, I would follow you, except I have Corey and Christopher to take care of. And she says, Mom, you can't come with me because you do have them to take care of. And I said, but I don't know how to live without you. And she said, Mom, you just live. You just live. And then at that, she started like fading away and I felt myself wasn't even waking up. It was just becoming aware. And I thought, well, it was probably the cat walking on me or something. I couldn't really believe that, but there was no cat in the room. And I finally got to my normal consciousness and I thought, wow, what was that?
Well, that was a definite experience.
She just gave me that gift, you know, she gave me that gift and it's just so amazing that I know it was not a dream. I know it was not.
That was definitely a visitation and it was definitely a gift of love. I mean, she gave you a gift of love and that is, it's beautiful that she did that for you. And, you know, you have that. And like you said, you experienced it, you felt it, you know, and I understand that. I know what you're talking about with that. And I think that that is just, I mean, what she gave you is definitely a gift of love. Wow.
Yeah. It helped me see what she went through when she crossed over, that she really didn't mean to do what she did.
Right. But she had people surrounding her too, which was pretty amazing that, you know, she shared that with you and that you saw that and that can give you some peace as well. You know, I mean, it doesn't change the fact, but it gives you some peace.
Well, I think that's a huge thing. It's huge.
On her angel verse. Oh, I'm sorry.
Say that again.
On her angel versary, which was this past May, my other children and I, we sent up balloons and I took one over to my sister and with my sister's I videoed. And when I looked at the video, the most amazing thing happened. I saw a blue orb streak up to the balloon that was let loose and touch it. And the balloon started spiraling like out of control. And then the orb flashed off.
Oh, wow.
My goodness. Well, you call both of those events amazing, and they really are. I mean, the thing that touches me so deeply with those stories is that in spite of all the pain and the sorrow that you have experienced, that you know she's with angels, with light beings, that they were there as she entered. That's such a comfort, I think.
And that she's also still with you.
Yeah, that she's.
I actually, Kim, I was just going to say that now that, you know, Jeannie can carry that with her for the rest of her life. And that's something she can, you know, you will have forever. And that is, like I said, a beautiful gift that she gave you, which is definitely amazing.
And Jeannie, you're there, aren't you?
Yeah.
Jeannie? Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you, after that experience, did that really help your pain? Did that soothe and comfort you a lot?
Oh, definitely. Every time I get a sign from her, and I have to have them frequently, and she knows that. So she gave me a red cardinal the other day when I couldn't get on the medium show with James Van Praagh and the other gal that was doing double readings. I said, I know you couldn't get through all the spirits, so I need another sign, Calista. And there was a red cardinal on my son's car, just standing on the car looking straight at me. But anyway.
But that's beautiful. She's letting you know you didn't need the medium. That's great.
Yeah, that's true. That's funny. Oh, yeah, she showed you. Oh, yeah, directly. That's wonderful.
So many incredible stories from other people. And when I hear the stories from other people, it gives me hope.
Yeah.
It just validates what I have received. And it's just so wonderful to listen to all these stories. And I'm surrounded by people who don't believe in any of this stuff. And it's hard. But I don't care. They can live in the dark ages. Because of the choice she made, if you want to look at it as another gift, she has been them. She has helped me on my spiritual journey because I am not the same.
That's so
wow.
True.
She's helped me move into a higher consciousness and awakening me up. So that's my journey. I'm trying to wake up.
And you pass that forward too. So that's the gift that's going to keep on giving from Calista.
Right.
And I would agree with you that it's just absolutely wonderful to hear your story, to hear other stories, and the fact that we have the internet now and such programs, we can hear so much more than we could hear if it were just our village, our community. Isn't that so? We just hear this amazing thing. Like we might never meet you in person, but we are able to hear this incredible, amazing story.
Right. Well, and it surrounds everyone in comfort. You know, it's not just, you know, her daughter came through for a message for her, but it also, by her sharing it, it's surrounding all of us. It gives everyone a little more comfort. And I always say this is like a safe place to come and share your story because we do hear you, you know, we do understand. And, you know, you said you have people out there that don't get it. And like you said, that's okay. Let them, you know, they can live their life. Hopefully, you know, somewhere along the line, they'll just happen to read something or something will click for them. But you know, you're doing, I love that you're so open. And that's why I think too, you're getting, you know, a lot of signs because when you, you know, like I always say, when you pay attention, when you're open, when you, you know, there's that connection of love between you that, you know, it's showing you that she knows you hear her. And that's really important when they know that you hear them and they know that you're going to pay attention, then, you know, that allows them to be open more and to receive more. And I just think that that's, you know, beautiful that she's come through in so many ways for you. So, you know, thank you definitely for calling in.
Yes, thank you, Jeannie.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care. Wow, it's beautiful when you get so many validations and you know, whether you receive one or you receive 20, it gives you that comfort and that feeling of comfort. That, like I said, it can carry you for the rest of your life, knowing that they're in a good place and that they responded back, and you know, so that is beautiful.
Yes, and they're with spirit beings, you know, who know and love and work with her, that are part of her, probably. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that is so. Especially when a child goes in that way, it's so shattering, and to have that experience is so healing. It sort of brings back and glues all the pieces together again.
Right. Well, you know, it kind of reminds me, I came across a story and I kind of remember it. I'm not going to remember all of it correct or completely, but in Diana Archangel's book, I think it's called Afterlife Encounters. There was a story in there about a woman who her daughter, they were living in Florida and the mother had to, I think, move to Puerto Rico. And so, of course, the daughter went with her, but she didn't like it there. And she wanted to go back to Florida and visit friends. And she went back and before she left, she had told her mother something to the sense of, you know, how long will we live? Or do you believe in, you know, afterlife or something to that sense? And she was reading a book and she told her mom, I'm going to be in Florida, but if you never, ever need that book, it's there. And, you know, of course she gets to Florida and then she's in an accident and she's killed. And her mother remembers the book and is reading it and it's giving her some comfort. But she said she was out one day and she was walking and she kind of fell or she was tripping. And with that, somebody grabbed her hand and she felt a real hand grab her and lifted her up and picked her up. And when she looked up, it was her daughter.
Oh my
God. Her daughter was helping her up. And she said it was like looking at her, you know, just like a real being. And she said as soon as she was back on her feet and steady, her daughter disappeared. But it made me think, you know, with reading that, it made me think of tonight, you know, what Jeannie had said about her daughter. And, you know, she felt that. She had that real sense. She knew that she was there. You know, we think that just because someone, you know, has moved on, that they've transitioned, they've passed, that they're no longer around, you can't feel anything. That's not true. You really can get, you know, you can feel it. You can get a touch. You can, you know, and that story was actually a perfect story because it connected exactly with what Jeannie was saying too, is that this woman felt her hand. She felt she was lifted and pushed, you know, pulled up. And I know that feeling because that time when I almost fell down the steps, you know, when I was first married and we had, you know, a two story, and I was going down the steps and I fell forward. And with that, somebody grabbed me and pulled me back. And I found myself sitting on the top step, which I don't even know. I don't know how that could have ever happened because I was ready like three steps down. And I just remember shaking and being like, thank you. Thank you. You know, you saved me. Thank you. You know, and so, you know, you can be, you know, you can be helped. Spirit can come to you, like I said, in all different ways. And Jeannie gave a perfect example too. And I think that, you know, and some people might say, oh my gosh, I don't want that. I don't want that. And you know what? Your loved ones, I think, will understand that. You just tell them, hey, you know, I don't want you touching my arm. You know, I don't want you to take, you know, freaking me out. And I think for the most people would like that. They would want to, you know, be acknowledged by spirit. But I think you have to be open to all the signs in whatever way they come. And whether you ask for something or whether it appears to you in a time of need, or in a time when you're, you know, in sorrow, I think it, no matter which way it comes through, you just have to remember how beautiful and thankful and what a gift it is.
That's so true. And, you know, it's when I'm thinking about you falling down the stairs and then ending back up on the stair. I mean, it really, I mean, it's a phenomenal story. But when you experienced it, or like when Jeannie experienced the reality of her daughter, that it's the experience is everything.
Right, right. And it's hard. And I understand how it's hard to share that with other people. Then some people will be like, oh, well, yeah, sure. You're just thinking. And you're like, no, because you know. And that's really all that matters. It doesn't matter, like she said, what other people say. It doesn't matter. It's what you experienced. And I think that's the, you know, that's the important thing. Nobody knows that somebody caught me and pulled me back three steps. I mean, how do you explain that to somebody? And they're like, oh, well, you probably just fell backwards. I'm like, no, I was falling forward, you know, so I think it works, you know, in that sense, it shows you that, you know, there are loved ones around us. For some reason, I was supposed to be pulled back. I guess I would have, you know, who knows what would have happened. But I think, you know, the point is that I felt it. And I think that shows you, too, that there's a lot of ways our loved ones can come through and, you know, give us a sign.
Well, you know, having spent most of my years teaching in college where the students were very open, but the faculty, most of the faculty kind of had the attitude of, well, yeah, you just imagined it, or not that I told them anything, but that's what they would have said. You just imagined, or this person thought this or thought that. It's that old Western worldview that there's nothing but matter, which is now we know through quantum physics just simply isn't true, but it really shaped a terrible negative attitude toward any possibility of contacting the other world.
And when my husband Ishvan and I had gone through the death of Pishti, and we'd experienced so many things together, and yet I had to go through in the beginning just a lot of doubt. I had to, in spite of the fact of what I was experiencing when I was in the vision, I knew. But when then I was back in ordinary consciousness, that ordinary university-trained consciousness wanted to jump in and tear it all apart and say, well, it didn't really happen, you know. Uh-huh. And so we had gone through those experiences, and I wasn't at that place anymore. But the night before my husband went to Hungary, where he too was killed in an automobile accident, that night, for some reason, I felt so uneasy. And usually I don't. I go to bed, and he usually tries to stay up all night, get packed and everything, so he can sleep on the plane since he's going to Europe. So, but that night I sat in the room while he packed, and I just felt miserable. I don't know. I couldn't figure out why. And then I started to cry. And I remember that he embraced me, and he said, just as though he knew he wasn't coming back, those things do happen. And he said, it doesn't matter what anyone thinks. We know what we have experienced. Hold on to that. We know what we have experienced. It doesn't matter at all what anyone says. And I thought that he was really addressing that weakness in me. And I thought of that when, of course, I got the news that he was dead. That it's almost like so often people who are leaving don't know, but they do know. And right. They say the things we need to hear.
And he may have known that he would be reaching out to you, and he was saying, don't forget yes. what you already know.
That's right, I too. Yeah, but,
yeah. I'm sure that's what he was saying to you, Betty.
Yeah.
Yeah, gosh. Well, you know, in thinking about that, too, it's like, again, it's like we all have the personal experiences. And I wrote something down and a long time ago, and you know, it's funny how things just pop up out of nowhere. I always say, you know, where I'm going through some papers and I'm like, oh, and I thought this saying, it's a Tibetan saying that I found, and it really makes sense to kind of what we discussed on the show, you know, every month. And it says, you know, it's a Tibetan saying. It says, if it's too close, it's too close, so we overlook it. It seems too good to be true, so we can't believe it. It's too profound, so we can't fathom it. And I think that when you look at that, a lot of times, you know, people think, oh, you know, that couldn't have happened. I don't believe that. And they think they want to believe it, or it did happen, and they think, no, it couldn't have happened, and they brush it aside. And I'm like, I think that it's important to remember that, you know, when we lose a loved one, to be open to them and to not overlook something and brush it off. And then some people are like, well, I never got a sign. I'm like, no, you know, I'm sure that our loved ones, they come through in different ways for everyone. And that if you feel you miss something, they'll come back. They'll give you a sign. They'll show you something, you know, they'll come through in some way. And, you know, and people are like, well, I want a sign so bad. I want a sign so bad. And I'm like, no, just be open. You know?
Yeah.
That's amazing. We have another caller. Carolyn from Connecticut is on the line. Welcome, Carolyn.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me.
What would you like to share with everyone tonight?
I experienced something that I haven't told many people. I guess I was, you know, I would be kind of like afraid, like you're saying, like what people think and whatnot. But now I've come to the conclusion that it was my experience, and I see it as a gift. So our son passed away 7 years ago. He was in a car accident. He was 23. And it was either a day or two after. We had a bunch of people at the house, and there were, you know, people talking and visiting, and you know how that kind of goes when you lose someone, everybody comes around. And I was sitting outside in our backyard, and I just had this really weird feeling like everybody was there, but I was all by myself. And I looked up, And we have an above the ground pool and a deck that is attached to it, so it's somewhat elevated. And I saw my son standing there, and when he died, he was 23, but when I saw him, he was like 7 years old, and he was waving to me, and he had the biggest smile on his face, and he had this little, like this little outfit on. Everything was him. It was perfectly the way he was at that age, at 7 years old. And it didn't even dawn on me that it was him. Like, I saw him, but I didn't react. I think I was in such shock. And then later on in the afternoon, it occurred to me, oh, my God, I saw him. He was there.
Wow.
And I've never known how to take that. And I don't know if that happens to people or what that means. I don't know.
Well, I think, first of all, I think that that was an experience that you did see and that you should, you know, like you said, you accepted it, which is wonderful. I think that I find it interesting that he was younger, which makes me think of a childlike energy to keep that in your heart, to keep that happiness, that fun, loving, you know, energy of, you know, who he was, not to forget all that energy of him through his whole life and not just that one point in time, you know, because sometimes you zoom in on one area, but maybe he's trying to say, you know, focus on my whole life, remember my whole life through all the years, find these great experiences and remember all these wonderful times you had with me. And for him to be standing there to show you is like, he's kind of like, hey, look at me, I'm up here, you know? And I think that that's really important because he wanted you to see him. He didn't care about everybody else that was there. He's just like, hey, look at me, here I am. Don't forget, you know, all the fun times that we had and all the, you know, the like, you know, when I think of someone younger like that, what do you think of all those, you know, the silly, fun, happy times and, you know, just life is flowing and going on and just remembering. And I think that, don't you think that's kind of what he's probably, you know, sending you to and, you know, it's your experience. So it's really whatever you feel the most you have to go with, but you had that experience and it's still with you. And to me, that tells me that, you know, that was a big turning point for you, too, that you had to, that you made that connection, you know, and that he sent that intention to you and you got it and you had that experience and how beautiful that you created that together. And now you can remember that and hold that in your heart, you know.
And I do.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I felt like it was such a strong connection. Like I looked up and he was there. And it was like our eyes locked, and then I just kind of absorbed it and went about my business and didn't really think about it. But then when it kind of dawned on me later, I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
It was just amazing.
Yeah, that would be amazing. It's beautiful. And I mean, and obviously you found comfort, which is, you know, it was something that he gave you comfort, and it kind of is like easing the transition in a way. And I don't mean to say it, you know, I want you to take it in the way of how I mean that it kind of brings you this comfort, this ease of comfort in, okay, he's there. He's okay.
Yeah.
And he decided to pick that time to show you that age for maybe whatever reason, you know, or simply for that childlike energy of, you know, hey, I'm still here, all of me, you know, everything that, you know, from the time I was little till now, it doesn't matter. I'm still here. And I want, you know, maybe he wanted you to smile. It could be that simple too, you know?
Right.
You know, I'm no, go ahead.
Oh, I did take it as a message from him that he was okay and that he wanted me to know. Like, I did take it as a very positive, you know, it wasn't scary. I wasn't feeling like, oh my God, I lost my mind or what just happened. I took it as very,
comforting,
reassuring and he, that age in his life, he was always really happy. That was a wonderful time in his life. And I think there was a message behind that too, the age that came through.
Oh, I'm sure, you know, very moved by him being that age, because my son was 20 when he died. Here's 23. There's something, you know, when our children are young, that connection with the mother is very profound. You know, mm-hmm. That's the central force, you know, mm-hmm. that they experience. And when I've had dreams of Pishti that age, it was at a time when we really sort of felt each other's thoughts and knew. I mean, it was a very close synchronistic situation. As they get older, of course, the mother has to step back a bit too. And but in that age, we don't have to step back so much. You know, we know that there's that joy and happiness, and it's all our lives. The mother and the child's life are so interconnected at that point. Overtly, mm-hmm. even while they may stay connected, there's something joyful and real and open about that relationship and connection. And I just kept feeling that when you were talking about that, I could just see my son doing this, standing on one leg and waving or something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right, like, right.
It all as well.
Yes. Thank you.
And you know, and let me just say one more thing. It's really beautiful to know that, you know, you had a glimpse of a different reality, and yet that reality was your son that was coming through to give you something for comfort. So, I mean, you always have that, and I think that's really beautiful. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes, thank you. I see it that way also. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, I think of in the ancient world how people could, you know, they could get carried away as we do with whatever they have to do, but they scheduled rituals that would keep us in touch with how to listen, how to be present, how to notice things. Of course, we were so connected to everything that was going on with the earth and the cosmos that there would be the spring and the equinoxes and the solstices and various times of the year in which certain rituals would really just plug us into what the earth was going through to some degree. And it would kind of open us so that we could also just be present and allow that ritual itself, whether it's singing or dancing or whatever, allow that to move us into the place where we are, where we can be in touch with that other dimension. So I think that a responsibility of culture, and I hope that we get to that point again, is that we are just naturally in tune with the earth's processes and how that affects us. And I want to just, since we have a little time, I want to just say something about the dancing. In the ancient world, of course, the circle was that image, that symbol of completeness. So to dance in a circle was very, very healing. I know Carl Jung said that very often mental patients would walk in a circle. It's as though they were trying to bring everything into an enclosed circle where they could deal with it. But it's also an eternal image. And again, I'm just going to read a little bit of this from The Miracle of Death. It's that these cultures tell us that in the spiral dance, and this is still popular in Greece, that there is the spiral dance that people do. It's probably more simply for stylistic or art purposes. But at that time, it was very powerful in throughout the ancient world, that the outer dance, the outer dancing of the circle, symbolizes and focuses the inner movement of consciousness as it spirals around and around and down into the depths of our own individual being. At the center of our deepest selves, when we arrive there, we confront the divine, the cosmic mind, the all, not as other, but as self. And I love that ritual and that deep meaning of that particular ritual. It was very clear that when we finally circled into the wholeness of who we are, we understand that we are all the divine, the cosmic mind. And that's got to be a pretty important experience.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And yeah, it transcends us into a new space, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the movement of the body can help to get us there, especially in unison with others.
Right, right. Wow. Yep, that's pretty, when I think about that, it's like that spiral and the circle, you know, how it brings us into a new place. It's kind of like there's that parallel of grief that does that as well, you know, and, you know, it's in a way it's very unfortunate, but it is also part of life, you know, that we are going to go through grief. And I think that, you know, it's that dance, that spiral, that circle to bring us into a place of, I don't know. It's like you kind of emerge into a new place, and it's all because of that circle, that dance. I don't know. Does that make sense when I say that?
Because we were saying, you know, we're all interconnected. So when we have, certainly within the circle is the wholeness of all life in a sense. And then we realize we're all interconnected. We are all one. In fact, we are all divine. And here in time and space for the moment, playing a particular game, this go around and loving and losing and grieving, and birthing and creating and dying. It's all a part of the of all our creativity, but that it's all intimately and intricately connected as one mind.
You know, that's going to make me think now too, in the future, of everything that I've done, you know, through childhood and adulthood, that I did things that were in a circle. I mean, think of all the games that you play, all the things that you do. It's like, you know, life is a constant circle and a constant dance. And it takes you into a whole new world. So maybe I'm going in a different direction, but it just made me think of that.
It is really true.
Well, I don't know if is it time for the prayer, or do we have a couple minutes?
Well, we have about 3 minutes left. Ooh. I wanted to ask you a question before we do that, Janet, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I think you might have shared at some point in the past some kind of experience where you actually saw the movement of spirit or a subtle body. Or do you have anything like that?
I've had a lot of different experiences with seeing different people. And are you talking about the circle that with the language that Ipu Piara had told me to? That one, or are you talking about a different one?
No, I'm just asking about personal experience in visually.
I've seen different beings that have come through, and they do different things. I mean, sometimes they will stand there. Sometimes they will. Well, I guess you might be thinking of the one with the woman that was standing under the bed, and she was doing what I thought was a dance. When she appeared, I was laying in bed, and she, someone pushed me on the side, like with my shoulder. And when I rolled over, there was a woman at the end of the bed, or kind of at the back of the room, and she was standing with one arm above her and one arm to the side where the window was. And it looked like she was doing like some kind of ballet dance. And, you know, she had this kind of Gibson girl hairdo and this big collared necklace that I'd never seen. It looked like something ancient Egyptian. It had this huge, huge collared necklace of gold. And I remember thinking, you know, there's a woman at the end of the bed, but I wasn't afraid, but she was, you know, the way she was standing, it looked like a dance. Well, I didn't realize it till later that she was pointing out the window. She was trying to get me to look out the window. And I was just so enthralled by her, but she had this energy coming through her of like a rainbow, but it was, these colors were brighter than neon. I've never seen these colors ever since then. They were so intense and so beautiful and loving and coming out to me. And I just laid there and stared at her. And then, you know, I was smacking my husband going, "There, you know, there's a woman, you know," and then she disappeared, and I'm hitting him. He's like, "What?" He's like, "Go back to sleep," you know, and I'm like, "No, there's a woman." He's like, "Go back to sleep." And in the next morning, I told him, I said, there was a woman at the bed, and she was standing like this, and she was in front of the window. And he's like, "Okay, whatever, honey," you know, and he goes to leave for work, and he comes running inside. A couple minutes later, he goes, "I know why she was there. She was trying to tell us somebody had broken into our van at the time and stole all his tools."
Oh my God.
That's why you were supposed to
leave. She was trying to warn me. Yeah, she was trying to warn me. So.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I had, you know.
It was so grand, you couldn't leave her, the vision of
right.
her.
I mean, it was a great experience. I'm glad at least I got to see her. So, you know, heck with the tools, I got to see her. It was fine.
That's amazing.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
Well, that's a good one to end on.
Sure. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and we'll end with the prayer. It's the Mahayana prayer. May all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey.
Amen. Beautiful. To that.
Amen is right. Yep.
Thank you, everyone, Thank you for joining us for this episode of Signs of Life. We hope to see you, hear you, join you, share energy and space with you next month on the fourth Thursday. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.